morning we're going to continue with a series that we've been doing on the Ten Commandments. We call that Freedom 10.0. And so this morning we're going to focus on the Ninth Commandment. So one more next week, and then after that we will start Advent. That's starting 2 weeks from now. Amazing. But so this morning we're focusing on the commandment. Maybe you can put that up on the screen. The Ninth Commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. In other words, you shall not lie. So that's what we're focusing on this morning. And we're going to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, and we're going to go to the end of that chapter and just the first verse, couple verses of chapter 5 of Ephesians. So hear then the word of God. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So far, then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, there's a story about a 10-year-old boy named Jack, whose father decided he was of age to take on some more responsibility on the family sheep farm. So Jack was put in charge of the flock in the fields. And his main task was to watch out for coyotes or wolves that might prey on the sheep when given the opportunity. Jack was given a staff, an alarm bell, and the trust of his father. He made it through the first few weeks without losing any sheep, and that made his father quite proud of him. And yet young Jack was known to have a sense of humor, and one day he decided to play a trick on his father and the other workers. He started ringing the bell and shouted out, "Wolf! Wolf!" His father and the other workers came running to help, only to find all the sheep safe and sound and Jack howling with laughter. Jack thought it was great fun, and he decided to pull the same prank again a few days later. He rang the alarm bell and started yelling, "The coyotes are here!" Again, his father and the hired man came running, only to find it was a false alarm once again. A week later, Jack spotted something moving in the bushes and shuddered in fear. He heard growls coming from the bushes and started ringing the bell as hard as he could, yelling out, "Wolf, coyote, help!" But no one came. The growling increased, and Jack figured he better rush the animal and to beat it with his staff. And just about as he was to bash the beast in the bushes, his father jumped out and tackled him. Jack just about lost his lunch. His father stood over him. "Son, why didn't anyone come out to help you?" Jack looked up with teary eyes. "Because no one believed me this time." And the lesson was clear. What his father expected more than anything was Jack's honesty. It's a lesson many people seem to never have learned within a world that's marked by deceptions, half-truths, and outright lying. A new buzzword in political circles these days is the term fake news. Maybe you've heard it a few times lately. It's become a convenient response for some politicians when they hear something about themselves that they don't like. "It's fake news," they say. And it's really just another way for politicians to do whatever it takes to twist or withhold the truth to try to protect their own skin. It also happens in the business world, where companies fudge their bottom line and regularly stretch the truth about their products or the services that they offer. It's not always easy being honest in the business world today. Even on a personal level, we're much more inclined to lie and to stretch the truth than any of us care to admit. We cheat and manipulate other people by deceptively covering up the truth about our actions or ourselves. We duck out of responsibilities by simply twisting the facts to suit our own purposes. A girl gets asked out by a guy that she's not all that thrilled about. She says she has to babysit when she's actually staying home to watch TV. A guy takes a girl home from a date and promises to call again without any intention of doing that. We tell ourselves we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, but such dishonesty only serves to promote the false illusions of the dating game. Parent and child relationships are often strained because neither side is totally honest with each other. Parents hide their true intentions about their rules, while teenagers betray the trust of their parents by telling only selective bits of truth about the previous night's activities. As students, we fudge the truth about our lack of responsibility in getting our homework done on time. A while back, McLean's magazine had an article saying that about one half of Canadian university students are known to cheat on their exams or papers, which only taints the integrity of our university education system. When we fill out a job application or resume, we're tempted to stretch the truth about our own competence. We sell a vehicle that's in good running order even when we know the transmission is on its last legs. We come home from an out-of-country excursion and conveniently forget to claim that one expensive item that's well hidden in our luggage. We play a game of golf and we try to save face after a bad hole by reporting only 7 shots when we know it took us 8 or 9. Someone serves us some food at a party that we don't like, and we say it tastes just great when we're just barely trying to get it down. If we're honest with ourselves, when we think we can get away with it, few of us can resist lying or at least stretching the truth somewhat. And you parents with small children, you know that that's one thing you never need to teach your kids, to tell them how to lie. It just comes to them quite naturally, doesn't it? And yet one of the worst insults we can throw at someone is to call them a liar. Did you know that a politician here in Canada can get thrown out of Parliament for calling another member a liar? And we typically think of liars as people whose word we can't trust, but we'd rather not think of ourselves as being that way. We don't like to think of ourselves as being a liar. And so all of us, I think we all would agree with God's 9th commandment in Exodus 20, verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not lie against your neighbor. But we seem to pick it up so much quicker in someone else than we do ourselves. In Ephesians 4, the passage we just read a few moments ago, the Apostle Paul is quite clear. The sin of lying is incompatible with the Christian life that God desires for us. Lying belongs to the old way of life outside of Christ, says Paul. Paul says we need to take off that old way of life with its deceitful desires, and we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds. You see, when we withhold the truth, or when we twist the truth in some way, we're not following the way of Jesus. And really what we're following then is the way of Satan, the evil one. Because the Bible describes Satan as the father of all lies, as the father of all half-truths. And since the fall into sin, every person has a natural tendency to try to follow Satan and his language of lies. Jesus describes himself in the Bible in John 14, verse 6, as the way, the truth, and the life. Which means that Jesus alone can release us from our deceitful ways. Jesus alone can give us the freedom to be truthful in all situations. The Bible in John 8 shows Jesus in one of his repeated battles with the Jewish leaders. And it's interesting what Jesus says to them in John 8, verse 42 and 44. Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. You belong to your father, says Jesus, the devil, for he is the father of lies. And not all surprisingly, when Jesus said that to these Jewish leaders, they weren't all that thrilled about that. This only fueled the determination of the Jewish leaders to try to find a way to get rid of Jesus. And they eventually did that. Eventually, they killed Jesus on a cross. And I find it the greatest irony. You know what they accused Jesus of being? A liar. Jesus was put on the cross because they said that he was a liar. Even at Jesus' trial, many false witnesses came forward to try to accuse him. And they eventually accused him of blasphemy because they refused to believe that Jesus was speaking the truth about himself as the Son of God in human flesh. And the Jews then crucified Jesus on a cross because they were fully convinced that he was nothing more than a fake, that he was nothing more than a fake Messiah. That's why they killed him. And the good news of the Bible is that God used this event to serve his purposes in releasing us from the grip of Satan. By his death and his rising again from the dead on Easter Sunday, Jesus overcame the power of Satan, the father of lies. And the power of God's Holy Spirit now living within us enables us to live and to speak the truth about ourselves and about other people. Yet each one of us knows from experience that it still requires a conscious effort for us to try to live out God's way of truth without still giving the devil some kind of a foothold in our lives. And that only emphasizes the fact that without God's help, we'll never get very far in living out the Christian life. The Apostle Paul urges us in Ephesians 4, verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of his body. And what that means is this, says Paul a few verses later in verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, that before we open our mouths, that we think of the other person and the other person's needs. That we ask ourselves, do I sometimes twist the truth about myself or some other person to promote my own selfish interests? Or do I actively seek to promote and to encourage the well-being of my neighbor? And that's easier said than done, isn't it? Especially when our world keeps telling us to serve ourselves, even if it means to walk all over someone to climb the ladder of success in business or our social circles. An old church confession says, the eighth command forbids any kind of false testimony about another person, as well as all gossip, slander, or twisting of one's words to condemn someone else. Any use of lying and deceit is a device of the devil and causes God's anger. Which begs the question, why does God hate lying and deception so much? Because God wants us to build up trust. Because God wants us to build up a sense of community within his church, but also within our society as a whole. And lying and deception, that only serves to build up mistrust among people. Because like with Jack in the story we began with, if we can't assume that people are truthful, then we'll soon start to feel insecure about ourselves, and we'll start to feel insecure in the world that we live in. Take, for example, if you work for a boss who keeps telling you that you're doing great work and that boss suddenly fires you for incompetence, you're not going to have a whole lot of respect for that boss, are you? Instead, God calls us to speak the truth in love. And so that boss who releases an employee has an obligation to tell the truth about why they're letting this person go. And if it's because of incompetence, our honesty allows that person to learn from that and to try to grow towards greater competence. Now, admittedly, the truth can still hurt at times. But people will respect us for our honesty when we do that in a kind, gracious, and loving way. As Jesus says in John 8, verse 32, the truth will set you free. But when we fudge the truth, essentially what we do is we break the trust that holds relationships together, whether that's in a marriage or dating relationship, whether that's among family or friends at work or in school, with our neighbors, or even our fellow church members. If we expect honest relationships with other people, we ourselves need to speak truthfully in any and every situation. Because we don't always think about that, but you know what? The cause of Christ, the church of Christ, suffers when we as Christians aren't always truthful. And sadly, even in the church, we sometimes get caught up in gossip that can tear apart a person's reputation when God calls us to actively seek and promote the truth about that person. As the Apostle Paul says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The Apostle Paul also urges us in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, be imitators of God and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And so being truthful in every situation requires us to think beyond ourselves as modeled for us by Jesus. And we can only do that in the power of God's Spirit dwelling within us. Now, that's not to say that it's ever easy to bring all our thoughts, words, and actions under the control of God's Spirit in our lives. The taming of the tongue, it's one of life's most difficult challenges, isn't it? It's not easy being candid and being truthful without hurting someone's feelings in the process. But telling a lie, not being fully truthful to someone is really a lethal weapon, like that of a poisonous arrow. Once it leaves the bowstring, it can't be recalled. It speeds on its way, striking its target, and does its deadly work. Lying destroys the good name of our neighbor and corrodes the souls those who regularly indulge in it. There's a story in the Bible in Acts 5 that shows us how serious God takes this sin of lying. There was a Christian couple named Ananias and Sapphira who wanted to impress all of their fellow church members with their generosity. And they sold a piece of property and they let everybody know that they were giving all the profits to the church to make themselves look good. Look at these wonderful, generous people, Ananias and Sapphira. And what did they do? They purposely held back some of their funds for themselves. The Apostle Peter in that situation shows that that kind of deceitful is not only an insult against our neighbors, but it's an insult against God himself. And God shows his seriousness about the sin of lying in Acts 5 by striking Ananias and Sapphira dead on the spot. Because lying and a relationship with God can't go together. When we hide the truth, we only follow Satan, the father of lies. Which then begs the question, is it ever okay to tell a lie? What about in World War II, where people lied to the Germans about hiding the Jews? Now that's still lying, yes it is. But there are situations where it isn't always so cut and dried. To protect the Jews from getting killed in that situation was still lying, but it was really the lesser of two evils. But let me tell you, that rarely happens in that situation. That's only a rare situation where a lie is rooted in a higher law of love for one's neighbors. And maybe there are times with even, say, maybe an older parent or whatever, sometimes we don't tell them the whole truth simply out of love and for their well-being. But that's, again, a very rare situation. What God looks for us from us in this ninth command is that God calls us to protect our neighbor's well-being in every and all situations. And just as Jesus speaks in our favor before our Father in heaven to set us free from our sin, we now are called to follow the prompting of God's Spirit to speak in favor of our neighbor at all times. That we talk and live in the truth because our lives are now anchored in Jesus, who came to us full of grace and truth. Through the Spirit, Jesus not only enables us to keep inside the things that we should not speak, but he also shapes our words to bring healing and peace to other people in his name. Jesus enables us to love God above all and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we do that in both our words and our actions. And so may Jesus enable us to be instruments of grace and instruments of truth in the lives of people around us. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for choosing to come into this world to be one of us. To come into this world as the Messiah, the true Messiah, and that you came to us full of grace and truth, and that you came to us as the way, the truth, and the life, and that you have provided us for a way of forgiveness, a way of salvation that we all need. Because we admit, Lord God, that we all fall short, because we admit that we don't do that well in always telling the truth. Forgive us, Lord God, for the ways that we sometimes follow the ways of Satan with our deception, our half-truths, and sometimes our outright dishonesty. Forgive us for the way that we often break trust with other people. And we pray that you will help us to see that it's also a sin against you, Lord God, yourself, when we aren't always truthful. We pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit to enable us to speak the truth in love in all situations, and that we may always keep in mind the needs of other peoples around us in our words and our actions, and that we do that looking to you to help us. That we do that in response to your gift of grace and love for us in Jesus. In his name we pray.